Chayo.
Welcome back to Legal Talk. I'm Tony Cicero along with Tom Collin, and our guest today is Lance Salyers, former prosecutor with the Montgomery County Prosecutor's Office. Lance, you were terminated for the fact that you have a blog and for something that you wrote on a blog.
Yes, that's correct.
And for the listeners out there, it's ragged-edges.blogspot.com, and it was a June 28th article that you wrote titled, I Hate Cowardice.
Yes.
Tell us all about why you wrote that article and what's in the article.
Well, I can't really get into why I wrote it because I can't get into... I'm not going to get into the details of what I was personally upset about because it involves an ongoing case and I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that case being prosecuted. But nevertheless, I had, you know, a disagreement with a colleague about that particular case. And I got home that Monday night and was just, for reasons that are as personal as they are professional, was just very, very upset about it. I couldn't sleep, so I got up. I had been, you know, blogging since about February. And writing is how I kind of work through. It's kind of, you know, what you see is what you get with me, and I'm kind of open about what I feel and think about just about everything in the world if you check out my site. And so I got up. It was about midnight. I got up, went into the kitchen, and it's kind of just a little personal therapy, kind of wrote out, you know, my process, my feelings, so I could get some sleep. But I also know that obviously this is public, and I'd be a fool not to put something on there I didn't want anybody to read. And it wasn't my intention to call anybody out or to name call or publicly, you know, deride anybody. And so I purposefully wrote it in a very general manner. I gave no names. I gave no details. It was just basically how I felt about concepts and you know, thought processes. And I purposely wrote it in such a way that if anybody crossed my site and read it, they wouldn't necessarily know if I was talking about a cop or a judge or a juror or another prosecutor. Because that wasn't my intention. I wrote that Monday night. The following afternoon, it had been printed off and was being taken around to I don't know how many people in the office. I don't think it was all that many, but it was enough. Those people interpreted it that I was talking about one or more of them, took it to the boss, or the boss's assistants, if you will. That was on Tuesday. By Wednesday afternoon, I had been fired.
Yeah, I don't think you reveal any trade secrets or anything like that in your article. It's pretty much just a rant about this other person. Seems to me that it may very well be protected activity for a government employee like yourself.
Well, that's
protected under the First Amendment.
That's certainly something I'm looking into. I'm familiar. When I started blogging, I was actually on paternity leave, or shortly before I went on paternity leave, I was on paternity leave for 10 weeks earlier this year, and that's when I did a lot of my writing. And
What made you do a blog? I mean, I noticed you linked to a lot of your friends that have started up blogs, but what is it? What's your personal reason for why?
The reason is because I like to write, and I like to communicate with words. I think words are powerful. And I saw this as an opportunity to kind of do two things. One, just practice getting better writing and expressing myself with words. And two, to kind of forever document for whether it's my younger sister or my daughter, document who I am and what I think. And, you know, they can come back years later and see who I was. That's why I was doing it. And so I talk about all kinds of things.
You do, and you get very personal as well. Obviously, your faith is something that you discuss a lot. Do you have any regrets or concerns about revealing so much personal information about yourself?
No, and I did that, you know, deliberately because I'm not the type of person who goes around worrying that, you know, some weirdo across the internet's going to find me, track me down, see my picture, and do something weird. The reason I put my name up there, my first name, last name, my picture, you know, where I am. Is because I want people to know this is who it is that is saying these things. That I'm not out there, whether I'm preaching about, you know, my faith or whether I'm talking about something in the news. I don't want anybody to think that I'm hiding behind anonymity so I can take pot shots at people.
You talk a lot, though, about personal experiences, not only, you know, religious, your feelings about religion, but also about your family life when you were growing up.
That's correct.
And you lay it all out there.
That's who I am. And anybody who knows me, and particularly, you know, who's dealt with me at work, knows that that's the way I am. I'm very open about the experiences I've lived with, the issues that I dealt with as a child. I'm very open about that because you know, I have found that you know, growing up and being intimately familiar with issues, for instance, like domestic violence, those experiences enable me to use them as a tool to relate to, in my line of work, victims of domestic violence incredibly well.
Well, in relation, I mean, I can appreciate that, but what about the concern that perhaps you're overlaying your personal experiences upon a certain case, and you may be overly zealous because you're identifying with something that happened in your own life rather than what is actually the facts of a given case?
I am all too aware of that, and, you know, that's why I have always made a practice when I was at prosecutor's office of talking to other people about my case, to get other points of view, to get other opinions, to verify that, you know, okay, I'm not just out in left field on this. And, you know, sometimes that's the opinion I get back. Yes, you're in left field. But I'm aware of that. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that my experiences are the fuel or the passion that drives me to do what I do and you know, to do it well, I think.
In the June 30th article that you wrote, it's titled "I Hate Cowardice,"
yes.
And you do lament about a colleague that you had a disagreement with, and basically call him or her a coward because they didn't want to prosecute a case. That shows a lot of zealousness on your part.
Yeah, I what I wrote, and people are free to go read it for themselves. And it's tough to read it now, free from the knowledge of what's happened since, to be able to interpret, oh, that's what he's talking about. But if you read it, kind of putting aside everything that you've heard of since, I'm fairly confident that you don't know who I'm talking about. You don't know if it's a colleague or whatnot. It does, though, and I make, you know, I'm not going to spin it. It does talk about people involved in the pursuit of justice, and that in that pursuit, shrinking back from doing something because the outcome is not assured. That, and this is a creed that as I say there, and anybody who knew me at work knew. I was willing, more than willing, to go, if I believe that in the case, and I believe that the evidence was there, and I believe that we had the right person, and they did do this crime, I would not look at a case and say, well, I'm not sure I can convince 12 people of that as the reason I wouldn't go forward. Sometimes, and this is, you know, kind of what I was talking about, I think that the pursuit of justice requires that sometimes those fights need to be fought, even if they're going to be lost, because there's a tangible benefit to the victim and to the community to see that we're going to fight. You're worth fighting for, and in fact, you're worth losing for.
Yeah, but here's where I think the problem lies. I'm not at that office, but the standard, what you said, is it's a probable cause standard when you take the indictment, and it's a reasonable doubt standard to get the conviction, and you're going to be evaluated under that reasonable doubt standard if you lose that case. And so I think that would cause some problems, it would seem, internally, if you're going to be judged under a reasonable doubt standard, but the filing is a probable cause standard. And I think that's probably, wouldn't it, you can tell us, is that why some people shy away from pursuing those charges?
Well, I don't want to go speculate on why people don't pursue particular charges.
Come on, you sure do a lot of speculation about
already
that.
Already enough on the blog. I think there's any number of reasons. Some of them I think are valid. There's obviously difference of opinion, and there's reasonable disagreements, and I want to make clear that even the thing that, you know, so incensed me was not so beyond the pale of what is professional or what, you know, it's not that somebody was derelict in their duty. It's not that. It's just within the sphere of, you know, your duty and your reasonable professional opinion.